Lord God, we just ask that you bless the word as we look at it, and you thank you that your spirit is in this room with each one of us and in each one of us. And we love you, Lord, and we purpose to understand and discern. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One thing you got to do is you have to understand when someone is speaking spiritually, that the apostle said, these things are spiritually discerned. It's like when Jesus was saying to a group, you must be born again. And this guy goes, how can I enter a second time into my mother's womb? Jesus is up here speaking spiritually, and the guy comes in down here thinking of the flesh, not having a spiritual mind at all on the matter. I'm wondering if anyone in the crowd that day heard what Jesus was saying. You must be. I don't think anyone knew what he was saying. It was just being said to be recorded by a disciple for later, for us. So I'm saying tonight, I'm going to speak spiritually with a lot of spiritual things said. And if you can, like right now, get your mind outside the box. Get outside your flesh. Get into your eternal self. Let your mind just soar. God wants your mind to soar right off to heaven. That's what God wants. Colossians 3, verse 1 says, if and by the way, that lady that was sitting here last week that objected to what I was saying, she did exactly what Nicodemus did. Because I said, the day you're born again is the day you entered eternity. It isn't when you die, it's when you are born again is the day you enter eternity and become an eternal being, and you enter the kingdom of God that day. And from that day, you have a right to go to heaven and petition and love on your heavenly Father in spiritual sense. And she goes, oh no, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And she was thinking purely in a physical sense, see? And she couldn't get. So it's like I was absolutely contradicting her scripture. And if you're not going to look at scriptures in a spiritual sense, then you will find lots of contradictions in scripture, you know? And we need to be looking spiritually. So in chapter 3, verse 1 says, if you were raised with Christ... Well, any one of us born again has been raised from the dead. Did you know that you were resurrected when you received Christ from the dead? We were dead in our sins. When He saved us, we were resurrected to a new life in Christ. So if you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Are they talking about 35,000 feet where airplanes fly? No. They're talking about heaven. Where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. In other words, this is the best advice you could get. Because you know what? There is no alcoholism, drug addiction, chewing tobacco addiction, smoking addiction, overeating addiction, shopping addiction, gambling addiction, cutting addiction, tattooing addiction, there is none of that in heaven. It isn't in heaven. It doesn't exist in heaven. And heaven can invade the earth. Heaven can intersect on earth. God lets heaven appear sometimes on earth. This one great healing evangelist was in a foreign country, and he was. They gave him just a little plot of ground. And they said, you keep all your people on this plot of ground, because the government wasn't very godly. They said, you keep all your people on this plot of ground except when you're coming and going from your crusade place. So this evangelist says, this is going to be the best plot of ground in the country. We're going to bring heaven to this plot of ground. And what he did is he prayed, they prayed, and they brought the presence of heaven onto that ground. And that And one day, a kid was walking to the crusade, and he's a cripple. And instead of walk around the ground that they've been given, he cut across the corner. And as he hit the corner of the ground, he was healed. It's like God took it literally. God brought heaven on the earth. And there's no disease or death or even crippledness in heaven. And so something, you know. Another time heaven hit earth was at the cross. Heaven just literally hit earth. That for a moment in time, Jesus on that cross, everybody see the Passion of the Christ? For a moment of time, Jesus on that cross was on in eternity. He was in eternity. And it was such a ripping up event that even people came out of their graves. A whole bunch of people came out of their graves and walked around downtown Jerusalem. And I think they stayed alive. The Bible doesn't say much about it, but they just stayed alive. You know, had their relatives had to give the life insurance back probably. And how do I know that heaven hit earth when he died on the cross? Because it says in the Bible that the Lamb that was slain was crucified before the foundation of the world. It's kind of like time travel. You ever watch sci-fi time travel? That's always fun. That's always interesting, you know. But Jesus, the cross event so transcended time that it was before, it's after, and it's during. We can look at the cross right now and it's almost a reality right now to us. But it says that he was crucified from before the foundation of the world. How could Jesus be crucified before God made the earth? You can't really conceive that unless you just accept it at face value. It's a spiritual concept that only God could do in his impossibility, in his ability to achieve the impossible. Jesus got crucified outside of time for a moment. And you see, it's only in heaven that you have timelessness. Timelessness is in heaven. You know, Albert Einstein was a brilliant man. He was a Jew. And they're still learning from his theories. And Albert Einstein said that when matter speeds up, time slows down. And when matter hits, this is his theory, and they have proved this theory now with high technology. And he did this theory in 1906, so don't think it wasn't God helping him with this theory. And this is what he said when he got the theory of relativity. He says, "I had a fitful night that night, and when I awoke, I understood the meaning of the universe and the fabric of all things." So he started putting it in equations. And he said, when matter speeds up, time slows down. And when matter hits the speed of light, it's converted to energy and time totally stops. And when that matter slows down again, it's converted back to matter and time starts again. And so all I'm saying to you is that if we were to travel almost a light speed and we went somewhere in a spaceship, when we came back, we would be we wouldn't have aged much, and everyone here that had not moved real fast would be much, much older, like 30 or 40 years would have passed. And God knows about this stuff because it's actually how God lives. The Bible says God is light. So obviously he moves at light speed. He is light. And light moves at 186,200 miles per second. That's how fast light is. And it actually says in the Bible that Jesus lives in unapproachable light. Well, of course you can't approach light because it's so fast. And he lives in eternity in unapproachable light. Well, that makes sense, because if you could get into the speed of light, time would stop and you'd be in eternity. Interesting. It's just, science can be real interesting when you look at it with the Word of God. So what does Jesus do? Remember when Saul, who became Apostle Paul, was putting Christians to death? And he's on his way to Damascus and he has all these letters. And, you know, some people say he was riding a horse and he's going down this road to Damascus. His name's Saul and he's a terrorist. He's a persecutor. He's putting Christians to death. He's a bad dude. And he's so full of himself. He's full of the law. He's a Pharisee. He's a scribe. He's learned all the proper education of the Jews. And he's a religious leader of the temple. And God picked him out because of his great knowledge. And guess who appears to him on the road? He's actually on his way to kill Christians in Damascus. Put them to death. And guess who appears to him on the road? And stops him on the road? Who appears? Jesus appears. And it says, and Jesus showed up in great blinding light. And that's exactly what it did. It blinded him. It was so bright. Remember I said, when light stops, when that matter turns to energy, when it stops, it turns back to matter, probably in quite a blinding flash. And so he was made blind. And then he started talking to Saul. He says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Well, I don't know who you are, great omnipotent being that's blinded me, but I'm persecuting Christians. How do you take that as you? You know, I'm kind of filling in some blanks for you. And that isn't really what Saul said. That's what he might have thought. What he really says is, who are you, Lord? He says the word Lord. Here is this guy, and all of a sudden he's calling this person that's appeared in light, Lord. That means you're great, I'm not, you know. And so Jesus says, well, I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. So you need to understand that if you are being pushed around because of your beliefs in Christ, Jesus takes it really personal. It's like you're pushing around Jesus himself. And he can't, you know, in this life, Jesus will intervene for you. In this modern day. I've had it. I've absolutely had it. I've had some of my enemies pass away suddenly without explanation. People that think I'm too radical, think that I shouldn't be a preacher, that maybe that think I ought to go be a store clerk or something. I submit to you that the Christians of Damascus, that he was on his way to put to death, were praying about their very lives. And it's like they're probably saying, Lord Jesus, we want to go on serving you. If they're going to come kill us and send us to heaven, that's okay. But if you could spare us, we'll go on serving you. Jesus takes compassion. He appears to Saul. He blinds him. Saul was blind for 3 days. And then Jesus sent a man to pray for him and lay hands on his eyes, and these big scales fell off his eyes and he could suddenly see. And so I just want you to see that Jesus came out of heaven for a moment, out of that high speed of light, and appeared just like us. We are matter, just like this. We have this kind of flesh, and in heaven they have a different kind of materiality. Paul says you have celestial, you have bodies celestial, and you have bodies terrestrial. And terrestrial means, what does that mean? Earth. The word terra means earth. And so you have bodies of heaven and you have bodies from earth. And they're not the same. There's this teaching out right now and it's storming the church. And it really bothers me. And they're saying that angels mated with women back in Genesis. And giants were born. It's like, well, then is that what happened with the guy we see come here every day and go to work back there? It's like, no. Giants have pituitary issues, you know? And they have, there is actually a disease called giantism. And these women did not mate with angels. They have bodies celestial. Angels do. Women have bodies terrestrial. Human flesh and spirituality isn't going to match, you know. And no more than a raccoon can mate with a tomato, you know. I just picked something really stupid.
Where you said red seed men?
Huh?
Where did David, I think it said, red seed men?
No, this is in, they're basing this on Galatians 6, where it says sons of God came and knew, they knew the women. And I believe that sons of God were Adam, Seth, Methuselah, Enoch. Those were the sons of God. And they mated with the women and gave offspring. And some giants were born. And there seemed to be more giants back then than there are now. And Goliath was a giant. And there were giants in Jericho. And there was this whole race of them in Jericho. And Goliath had four sons. And every one of them was a giant. But anyway, that's a side trip that we can't discuss right now. I wanted to explain to you what the three heavens are. Has anyone ever told you there's three heavens besides me? Okay. If we were standing out there on that sidewalk and we looked up and we see the stars, that's the first heaven. The first heaven is what we see. Okay. Now, then there's a second heaven, and it's actually a spiritual world, and it's where the devil, the demons, some angels of God are dwelling. If you could see that, now that realm is not up there real high. It's actually all around us. It's all around us. And there's actually a very thin veil between that realm and us. It's a very thin veil. And you get a little different kind of drug in you. You can actually see into it. We see people with the DTs. And that sometimes they're seen in that realm, and they can be really messed up, yeah, and they can kind of step into this realm from that realm when sometimes and appear, and they're not supposed to. It's illegal for them to do so with God. But since when does the devil ever obey laws? And so it isn't God's job to police this realm. It's our job. We are the occupying force, the Christians. We've been given authority. Jesus says, "You shall have authority to tread on serpents and scorpions." He said that in Luke 10. Serpents and scorpions means demons, devils, disease. Okay? And death. You'll be able to tread on death. There were 10 missionaries that were going to be hung in a foreign country. And they made them all stand on stools, and they put a noose on each of their necks. And then they said, "Before we kick out your stools, does any of you have anything to say?" And the lead guy, the lead missionary, he says, "I'll speak." And then he goes, I rebuke death in the name of Jesus Christ." That's what he said. And then they kicked out all the stools, and it didn't hang them. They lived. And so they cut them down and let them go. They are not hangable. Okay? And there's all kinds of stories going on like that all the time. But Jesus said, "I will give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. I will do that for you." And He gave it to us. When you receive Christ, you got that power. If you're not using it, it doesn't mean you don't have it. It just means you haven't activated it yet in yourself, and it's activated by your faith. But that second realm, the second heaven, is all around us. And then there's a third heaven, and that's the heaven of God. And that's the heaven I'm talking about tonight. And it is a holy place. It's a wonderful place. The Bible tells us that it is It's square. It's perfectly square. And it is as tall as it is wide and long. See, if it's perfectly square, then its length and its width are the same. And it's supposed to be 1,500 miles. Thank you. And it's also 1,500 miles... It's also 1,500 miles tall, high. And I made this joke, I wrote this joke once. I said, I asked God why heaven was as tall as it is long and wide. And he said, some of us like the headroom. Yeah. But anyway, it is a wonderful place. It is a place of eternal rest and beauty for us, but it really existed before us, and it's the earth is probably a template of it. We probably have a lot of similarities of scenery and things in heaven that are on the earth, and meadows, and there's a wall around it. There are gates on the front of it. There are precious stones on the gates. There's no tears in heaven. It says there will be no tears in heaven. So if you're crying when you're walking through the gate, you'll probably dry up. And then at the center of heaven is God on his throne, the Father. And then there's Jesus at his right hand. And there's 24 elders sitting around. And they each have a throne, smaller thrones. And there are beings attending to altars over on the side. They call them seraphims. They are strange-looking creatures. They have two sets of wings that wrap around them, and they have more than one face on their head. They have, like, some of them have four faces, and I'm sure they would be very scary. Yeah, if we would see them, huh? First Enoch. Heaven is totally peaceful, and there's no death, and there's no disease, and there's no misery or pain or anything like that. And I can tell when heaven's close to me, because I move into this state of being where I am totally light, free, painless, exhilarated. I'm exhilarated. Sometimes even when I'm teaching, I have that sense and that feeling about me. Sometimes when people are listening to in my teachings, they have this sense of exhilaration, and it's like when those two guys were on the road to there was this road. Jesus appeared to two men on a road to Emmaus, the road to Emmaus. And they talked to him for a long time. They didn't recognize him. And then towards the end of the day, as they talked all day, they were so excited about their talk. And they said, that had to be the Lord. Didn't our hearts burn within us as we listened to him? The way they used to when we used to listen to him? And he wasn't exactly looking the same, I guess. You know, how could you talk to your followers and they not recognize you? But he was... hard telling. I don't even know the total everything that went on there, but I do know that he was giving off these heavenly vibes, and their hearts were burning on the inside. And so, anyway, let's look at the scripture now that I painted that backdrop. So, by the way, heaven is the third heaven is where God is, and there's something that God has that he's mentioned in the word called portals. And they are another name for a portal. A portal is an opening. Another word for a portal is a ladder. And that's what we have the account of Jacob, and he had a dream, and he dreamed, and this dream was probably absolute reality, okay? Because your dreams and your reality can merge into one. Your imagination and your reality can merge into one in God's kingdom. And that's why I said think outside the box, because while I'm talking here, we could have a portal open to heaven right here if you're willing to keep open to things like that. And what I believe is the portal comes from the third heaven where God is, and it passes right through the second heaven into the earth. And that's what Jacob said. Is he, remember, he put a rock for his stone? He said, and I saw a ladder, and there were angels ascending up and down it. And the Lord himself was standing at the top. And then he actually had a wrestling match with God. And they wrestled till daybreak. And God said, let me go. And he said, not till you bless me. So God touched his hip and it dislocated. And then he blessed him. And I think Jacob walked with a limp after that. But God changed his name. He says, I no longer will, you know, you're no longer Jacob, you are Israel, because you have wrestled with men and with God and you have prevailed. So you're a great man. I'm changing your name to Israel. And Israel means prince with God. But Jacob saw this opening over him. And he called the place, he built a pile of rocks and he called it Bethel. And Bethel means the house of God. Now I got to tell you something. I can show you all through the New Testament that the house of God is no longer a location. What is the house of God in the New Testament? Huh? Very good. We are the house of God. We are His dwelling place. I am God's house. He walked in here with me tonight. And if heaven opens up over me, that's fine. Because I'm Bethel. I'm the house of God. And Jesus was... Okay. We're going to turn away from here and go to John, the book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's going to be the last, John 1, the beginning of John. The beginning of John. Are you there? Okay, let's go to the end of the chapter, right before chapter 2. If you look at verse 51, Jesus is speaking, spiritually speaking now, not in the flesh, all right? And he says... And he said to him, most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You know why? Because Jesus was the house of God. Jesus could have Jacob's experience, but it was going to be on Jesus' very own person that this ladder would extend over. This portal would be open over his life. It wouldn't be open every moment. It would open when he's ready to do something. You know, to perform miracles. And this ladder over his life would open in heaven. And it would allow angels to come down through that porthole or that ladder and totally be unfettered by those evil beings in the second heaven. Because I don't believe they can get inside the porthole. You know what I mean? It's kind of like you've heard them talk in science fiction about a wormhole. And you go in a wormhole and you come out three universes away, and it's like you transcend everything. You've time traveled and everything else, okay? That's in sci-fi. And I bring it up because I know you can all recognize it because you've seen... We know more about sci-fi than we do about God in heaven, you know? But watch this. Watch this. That's why we're learning. We're studying together. Watch this now. Daniel was an Old Testament prophet. And Daniel, you guys, wait, fix on me here for a minute. Daniel was an Old Testament prophet, and you got to understand, he was a great man, a great, great man. He was second only to the king in Babylon. And Daniel, everybody in the Old Testament was not born again. They never received the Lord because that time had not yet been given until he went to the cross. So those people operated on a different spirituality. They operated on a lower level of spirituality than we get access to. We have much greater access. That's why Jesus said, he says, John the Baptist was the greatest man ever born of a woman. What a nice thing. That was his cousin. That was his cousin. And they beheaded him, remember? And he says, John the Baptist was the greatest man ever born of a woman. I don't think that's just cousin bias talking. I think there's a reason he said that. That means he's greater than Moses. He's greater than Elijah. He's greater than Adam. He's greater than Noah, Seth, Enoch. And he says, and yet I'm saying to you. Now he'd point at you. You, and you, and me. He says, yet I'm going to tell you something. He who will be the least in the kingdom of God will be greater than John the Baptist. He says, if you get the Father's plan and you receive me in your heart after I die and go back to heaven, and when the Spirit comes back on Pentecost, if you get the package, if you get the benefits package, if you get born again, if you become the eternal son or daughter of God and get heaven bound and then get on that path with me to do my will, you will be greater than John the Baptist. You will have greater feats, greater access, greater things to do. And you will be a greater person. And now back to Daniel. Understanding that Daniel... See, John the Baptist was like the last prophet before the cross. So he was the last guy not born again. You know what I mean? And so that's why he wasn't as great as we can be, our potential to be. And so when you talk about Daniel, Daniel taught us something wonderful. I don't know if you've ever read the book of Daniel and then read the book of Revelations, but it's almost like you're reading the same book over again. So most of Revelations is based on Daniel's vision. So here's a great guy. Here's a guy that the lions wouldn't eat him. They wouldn't eat him because of the power of God and the angels of God. And then here's a guy that... he set to pray one day in Daniel 10, and we aren't going to go there right now, but he set to fasting and praying because he found out that it was time for God to do something for his nation. And so it's something God wanted to do, but it's something God needed a man on earth to pray over and get it done on earth. So Daniel set to praying, and after 3 weeks of praying and fasting, this angel appears. And he says, I started out for you 3 weeks ago. And I was detained by the Prince of Persia. Now, the Prince of Persia is not a man. But if you think about it, did anyone see 300? The movie 300? Okay, well that's where the 300... Spartan soldiers take on 2 million soldiers from Persia. And they have a king in Persia, and he's real evil in this movie, and his name is Xerxes. They had several kings in Persia, you know, Cyrus and Xerxes and Darius. And so what happened was the Prince of Persia was the demon ruler that was running all of Persia, that is inhabiting the king of Persia. And that's the only way that a prince of Persia could stop an angel, is because somewhere as the angel was coming to Daniel, he got blocked by the prince of Persia. And this is what he says in the book of Daniel. And you can go read it this week, Daniel 10. He says, the archangel Michael was dispatched from heaven to assist me, and now I've made it through, and here I am. So there is a warfare going on. There's a battle going on. And so what happened was 3 weeks there was a delay, and he says, and I'm here to give you your answer. So fasting and prayer was how Daniel helped that angel to break through, and God was doing everything to cause it to take place, but they had to send Michael the archangel to help. And so this is my whole point. In this reality of the new birth, we have more quick work and more abilities than Daniel. Daniel didn't get to go to heaven like we get to go to heaven. And so you will see the heavens open. And if you look here now in 51, Jesus says you'll see the heavens open. He does three gifts of the Holy Spirit or miracles in this chapter. He sees an Israelite in whom is no guile. He reads the guy's mail. He sees the condition of his heart. That's a spiritual gift. It's called the gift of discernment. He says, I saw you sitting under a fig tree. That's called a word of knowledge. That's a spiritual gift. People do that today all the time. And then finally, he tells the future of what they're going to see. And that's a word of wisdom. And that's what verse 51 is. So he does three spiritual gifts. And then he says, what helps me do these gifts is heaven flows to me and through me. And then I speak forth. And I have the supernatural ability from heaven as I'm talking to all of you. But I just want to get to one scripture on my list. He says, let's go to Philippians 3:20. Before Colossians. Philippians 3:20. I don't know. Did I lose some of you? Huh? Sometimes I lose.
There's a lot of right on with what's going on.
Okay, so look what it says in Philippians 3:20. It says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. If he says our citizenship is in heaven, and you're going, wait, I'm an American citizen. Well, see, that's flesh thinking again. Because it's true. Both facts are true. You are, in the flesh, you are an American citizen. But in the spirit, you are a citizen of heaven. Now, if God says you're a citizen of heaven, I would think you might want to make it your life's quest to get the full ramifications of what that means. I do. I go after that every day. I go after that every day, and I get results, and it helps my life. And because, remember Jesus said the Lord's Prayer? He said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, you know what? That is not a repetitious, dutiful, liturgical prayer you're supposed to just repeat after Jesus and it have no meaning for you whatsoever. Yeah, let's throw all that out and let's get the meaning out of that right here. Every day I can go visit God in heaven. How do I know I can go visit Him? Well, I'm a citizen there. He said I am. And then He says, come boldly before my throne of grace that you may find help in time of need. It's like, okay, how can I go before His throne of grace if I'm not allowed up there? You are allowed there. How can I go before His throne of grace if I don't have the physical ability to go up there? You don't have the physical ability, you have the spiritual ability. You can go into your prayer time and you can imagine Him on the throne. And guess what? Imagination is intent, and intent makes you guilty. You understand that? You don't? Okay, listen to this comment. Let's use a reciprocal of that. Jesus says, it is said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you, a man who lusts in his heart after a woman has already committed adultery with her. You're guilty of the act just by thinking about it. It is said, you can hate your enemy. But I say to you, whoever hates his brother without a cause is guilty of murder. You're guilty of murder just by hating now. Isn't hating just a mental imagination? Isn't lusting after a woman just a mental imagination? And God's saying, you're now is this kind of being I made you, spirit, soul, and being, and the capabilities you have, and the faith you have. See, David could not be guilty, or Elijah, or Daniel, or Malachi, or John the Baptist. They could not be guilty of adultery by simply lusting. Only this new covenant creature could be, because we have creative abilities in us. We are like God. We are in His image in this state of being of having God living inside of us. And now our imagination can create the reality. You see? And so now if you pray and you imagine you're before His throne, God says, guess what, son? You're here. And you know what? I start practicing that, and I practice it, and I practice it, and all of a sudden, you would not believe the euphoria that would start filling the space around me and my head and my mind. And I said, oh my goodness, now I'm experiencing it in the physical. But I wouldn't get to experience it in the physical unless I first enacted it by faith and used it in the spiritual realm. You see? And so when I say, oh yes, I can, I'm a citizen there, Lord. And I can come boldly there, Lord, before Your throne to find help in time of need. Hey, if God didn't say I could come before, I couldn't come before His throne, He should not have said it. Right? But He did say it. And He wants me to grab onto it and walk in it. And so here you get to go to heaven with God and dwell there. And I admit to you, it isn't a 24-hour thing. I admit to you that you can go for a half hour and get your fill, and it'll last you 24 hours. All right? And now you have to come down to earth. But you don't know how many times I've gone to heaven with God, and then I have enacted the things I need that I'm going to be doing later in the day. Okay, I'll give you an example from the Bible on that one. Jesus is being tried by Pilate. And Pilate says, don't you know that I have the power to crucify you? He's trying to intimidate him, you know. And Jesus is not intimidatable. Because Jesus said, he had said earlier that week, he had said to his followers, no man can take my life from me except I first lay it down. They could not have killed. One time they tried to throw him off a cliff, and he dematerialized, walked through the crowd, and then materialized on the other side of the crowd and walked away. And he was like a, he was a, you know, as a supernatural being, he did that. And he was nothing more than what you and I are. And there are people that are transporting like that today on the earth. They are. I'm believing for it. And I'm not convinced I haven't done it. I've had a few strange experiences in my sleep. And so, Pilate's talking to Jesus, and Jesus says, and Pilate says, don't you know I have the power to crucify you? And Jesus says, you have no power except that it was given to you from above. And I was praying about that once, and I was thinking about that verse, what he said there to Pilate. And I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And He says, this is what that means. Because the Bible says all governments are instituted by God, okay? Rome has an evil ruler over it. And that area of what Pilate had charge over had an evil ruler over it, helping Pilate rule, a demon. Because the Bible says that there are rulers and principalities in heavenly places, the second heaven, and they are rulers over the land, like the Prince of Persia. So I guarantee you, America's all divided up, and it's run by demons. And if Christians want anything done in America, we have to seize it violently in the spirit to get it done. And what I'm saying to you is that Pilate had a demon ruler over him. And I submit to you that probably that night before, this is what the Holy Spirit showed me. He showed it to me. He didn't say it so much in words as he gave me a visual, like a movie reel, you know. I saw it like a video, what happened. Jesus, that night in Gethsemane, because he had already said, no man can take my life except I first lay it down. So somehow Jesus had to make a transaction before that week, like in that movie, The Passion. He had to make a transaction in the spirit realm to make his death be causable. He had to do it himself. Because he had to be able to lay down his... He had to willingly lay down his life in order for it to be taken. And so, because he had too much glory on him, and there is no death in glory. So he had to get the glory out of him for a moment so he could die. And I submit to you that Jesus went into the spiritual realm from Gethsemane, where he was praying, and he dealt with that demon over Pilate, and he said, permission's granted, crucify me. And then when he's down there on the earth and he's not in his spiritual prayer life, Pilate says, don't you know I have the power to crucify you? And Jesus says, yep, I already gave you that power from above. You know, it's because of me you have that power to crucify me. So, you know what? I've gone into heaven, talked to God about a blessing, and then settled it with God, financial blessing or something. And then later in the day, or the 2 days later, I'm just in the earth, and I'm just Greg, the flesh man again, you know, and I'm walking around, and I'm remembering I went there with God, and I'm saying, okay, Lord, whatever I transacted there at your throne, I lift my hands up in the air. Lord, whatever I transacted at your throne, I receive it now as Greg on earth. Because it's called being bilocate. We're bilocating. We're in heaven, but we're also on earth at the same time. We're in heaven in our spirit man, and we are on earth here in our flesh man, you see? And so you can actually go transact something with God and then receive it as the man of flesh. And that's, our blessings are coming from heaven, but we have something to do with them because we get to go there too and talk to God about them. And so you see, there's a lot more we can talk about and teach. There's a scripture that says, and he said to them, this is John 8, we won't turn there, but he says, and he said to them, you are from beneath, I am from above, you are of this world, I am not of this world. That's what Jesus said to his followers. But then later, after he taught them a lot, he says to his Father, he says, they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. He's talking about his followers. But I honestly believe he's talking about that they would get born again after his death, and then they would not be of this world once they're born again. And so he says, as you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And then it says in 1 John 4, as he is, so are we in this world. Oh my goodness. Not as he was, as he is. Not as Jesus walked the earth are we in this world. We're even better than that. As he is right now at the right hand of the Father, being able to walk through the veil from heaven to earth, we can walk through the veil to see him, just like he walked through the veil to see the Apostle Paul. See? And so it says, as he is, so are we in this world. And so it says, we were translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love. God has made us to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. It says, now you are therefore no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. And guess where the household of God emanates from? Heaven. So you're citizens of heaven and you're members of the household of God. And so this is really powerful stuff. I love to talk about this. It says, Hebrews 12, it says, you have come to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, 1,500 by 1,500 miles. And it says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are now His ambassadors. An ambassador is representing somebody that is not here. Our ambassadors go to foreign lands and they represent our government to those foreign lands. And now we're ambassadors for Jesus Christ on this earth while He's in heaven. And His Spirit backs us up and is inside of us. And the Holy Spirit. And so we are not of this world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And so as His ambassadors, we have supernatural abilities that He empowers us with. And why did I go through all this? I'm trying to say to all of you, if you're fighting an addiction, as you spend time with God in heaven, you get a lot of mileage out of that for power on the earth. You go to heaven with God. I don't care if you have to walk to the river or walk to a field or somewhere private, but go to heaven with God. And then watch the residual power that you come back with. Watch the power that's on you the rest of the day. You will literally be amazed. If I have 4 hours of work to do when I've come back from heaven, I can often do it in an hour, hour and a half. Yeah, it is amazing. It is amazing. It's almost like, hey Lord, did time stop or was I just faster? And, you know, I don't actually know the answer to that, but everything works better with God when you've been in heaven. And so, thy will be done, Lord, today on earth as it is in heaven. You have to go after getting His will from heaven every day in your life. Having a trouble with a government agency? Because I got to tell you, those places are loaded with demons. Just talk to the people. They try to teach, they try to dehumanize you and talk to you like cattle. And talk to you like you're the scum of the earth sometimes is the way they treat you. Talk to the IRS, you know. And what's going on with the White House? Oh my goodness. Okay, so these government agencies are demon run. And if you go to heaven, when you're with God, and He's the Father's there, and Jesus is there, and you're standing around, you're talking to Him, and you pull up a little chair, use your imagination, pull up, sit down, talk, hey, and guess what? The spirits running those organizations giving you trouble are way below you. You can go to the top spirit of that organization and say, Spirit over Social Security in the Sacramento area branch, I bind your power in that agency and I forbid you to deal with me like that. And now I release all the people from your grasp and I forbid you to talk to any of them. And I'm going in there tomorrow and I'm going to talk to them and they are going to deal with me. Now you go in there in faith. I've taken care of this from above. All I got to do now is walk it out in faith. Boy, do I have confidence. Thank you, Jesus. And then you go in there and you go, can I have this? Oh, sir, no. Wait a minute. Now, this is why I want it. Can I have it? No, sir, no. Wait a minute. See, you're not going to take no because you've already said it in heaven. See? And I know a man that literally went to a banker with another man, and this guy was operating out of heaven, this pastor. And he goes in a bank and he wants a loan, and this lender in the bank, this banker says, we can't give you the loan, sir, it's just one not gonna work. And he goes, I bind the devil in Jesus' name from this person and from this bank. And you know what? The person couldn't even hear him. She's right, it's a lady, she's right across the desk, she can't even hear him. And then he goes, how about that loan? Sir, I already told you, you cannot have the loan. I bind the devil from this name, in Jesus' name, and from this woman. Now, this is why I'm asking for the loan. He gives a few more facts. He says, how about that loan? Oh, sir, I said already, you can't have a loan. You don't qualify. We can't make a loan like this. You can't get this loan. I bind the devil from this bank or from this woman. I mean it. This is really true. This is really true. Somehow God was blocking out the sound. And just the fact that he would lean to the side and talk, he was just covered in some kind of invisible mist that the woman couldn't see through. And God said, I'll hide you in the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty. There's a shadow over you. And so he says, so finally after the third or fourth time, he says, ma'am, if you're not going to help me, get your boss. She went and got her boss. The boss sat down. The boss said, what can I do for you? He says, this is all I want. The boss looks at the woman. He says, we're going to do this for this man. See, here's a man who knows who he is in heaven. He knows that he's raised up to sit with Jesus in heavenly places. He's gone there. He's operated. He's broken the power of the devil. And now when he's down here on earth, he's just walking it all out. But he's not going to forget the routine, regular time he's supposed to go up there and keep his destiny flowing forward, because thy will be done on earth today in my life as it is in heaven. And the will, the heaven is wonderful for me today. It has to be here on earth as it is there for me today. There's no addictions in heaven. There's no sin in heaven. There is no hate. There is no anger triggers. Y'all hear that? There is no anger triggers in heaven. You can be a heavenly being or you can be an earthly being. I suggest you be a heavenly being. I can only teach, I believe this is good teaching, but I can only talk to you like this because I function from heaven as a heavenly being. That's my belief system. I've believed that for many years. And yes, God has helped my wife and I to have a healing ministry. We heal the sick. We've seen cancer healed. We've seen maimed bodies healed. We've seen bones that grew back long straightened. We've seen, you name it, we've seen it. I've done it for 30 years. No, it doesn't get on the news. It never will. Anything that's supernatural, miraculous, the world doesn't want to hear about it because they don't believe it, because they think you're a charlatan. And that's all right. That's their loss. But I'm going to stop now. Thank you for listening to all that. Father, in Jesus' name, we seal these words. We ask for this heavenly ability and functioning daily. Starting tonight, give us the dreams of heaven. And we know if you're in them and they're of heaven, they won't just be dreams. They'll be your reality. I speak peace and blessing in every person in Jesus' name right now. And in every person listening by audio, by computer, digitally, Lord, bless them, touch them, touch their bodies, heal them, restore them, bless them, change their circumstance. Let them see you in heaven, Lord, and let them come to heaven every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.